And now, we know you look forward to it. It's that time again, the Talk of the Nation Summer Movie Festival. We welcome you all back with a segment to celebrate that most joyous of events, the wedding. In Jules Pfeiffer's 1971 film Little Murders, Donald Sutherland performs the ecstatic transition into matrimonial bliss.
First, let me state to you, Alfred, and to you, Patricia, that of the 200 marriages that I have performed, all but 7 have failed. So the odds are not good. We don't like to admit it, especially at the wedding ceremony, but it's in the back of all our minds, isn't it? How long will it last?
About 16 more minutes. Anyway, that's right. A wedding also represents a leap of faith and one of our sturdiest plot devices in Hollywood history. As always, we want to hear your all-time wedding movies. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You can send us nominees on our blog, too. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. As always, we're joined by Murray Horowitz, director and COO of the American Film Institute Silver Theater and Cultural Center, which is here in the Washington, D.C. area. Though today, Murray is with us from member station WYSO in Yellow Springs, Ohio. And Murray, welcome back.
It's good to be back, Neil. Happy summer.
Happy summer to you. And there's a meta quality to this. So many people like to film their weddings and then go see wedding movies.
It's really true. I mean, this is life imitating or art imitating something. It's like the most videotaped event in America, even more than, you know, cats turning somersaults, I think, is the wedding. And so it's amazing that we never tire of looking at them, of seeing them, of watching them. You know, we can do a little bit of contemporary urban archaeology with this topic, Neil, because as we did our research, we found that there's an extraordinary number of movies with the name wedding, in the word wedding in the title, in just the last decade or two, decade and a half. And it turns out that while weddings have always been popular in the movies and on television, they're especially popular and big weddings in real life are especially popular, not surprisingly, in times of plenty. So the 90s were a big time of boom in America, and so we had a lot of big weddings and a lot of big wedding pictures.
The Wedding Singer, My Best Friend's Wedding, Monsoon Wedding, those are just a few of them.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding, in fact. And it's something, I mean, right now, you know, Mamma Mia I like those films where something happens at the wedding ceremony, like in Private Benjamin or right after, The Philadelphia Story and the MGM musical remake of The Philadelphia Story, High Society, which somebody wrote me was the film that proves how great your wedding can be if Louis Armstrong leads the band at your wedding. The Graduate, where it's a very dramatic wedding ceremony. Mamma Mia, you know, it's great if it's not, as you say, it's a plot device. That I like that.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation, as always. And let's go to Zoe. Zoe with us from Cape Cod in Massachusetts.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm calling to vote for The Philadelphia Story.
The Philadelphia Story. Well, Murray just mentioned that, and this is a classic movie based on the Philip Barry play. The wedding does not go smoothly. Here's Katharine Hepburn calling off her wedding to George Kittredge.
Good morning. Stop that music. I'm terribly sorry to have kept you waiting, but there's been a slight hitch in the proceedings.
That hitch, though, is smoothed over just moments later as she is delighted to announce there's going to be a beautiful wedding to, of course, Cary Grant.
Dexter, are you sure?
Not the least problem, Risky, will you?
You bet. You didn't do it just to soften the blow.
Okay,
no, to save my face.
Oh, it's a nice little face.
Oh, Dexter, I'll be yarn now. I'll promise to be yarn.
Be whatever you like. You're my redhead. Are you all set?
All set.
Zoe, are you yarn?
Excuse me?
Are you Yar?
Oh, I would love to be Yar. I like to think so.
That's, of course, the nautical term. I've never heard it used in any of the context that is used to describe the quality of a fine sailing yacht and a fine woman, too. And, well, it's the opportunity, Murray, in the remake for singing of the song True Love.
Right. It's not Cole Porter's greatest song, but it's very, very effective in this scene. And it being, you know, and it sort of helps smooth out, to me, the biggest problem of the movie, which is that Bing Crosby is old enough to be Grace Kelly's father, but they are the love interest.
And it was, of course, Jimmy Stewart in The Philadelphia Story, and he's just terrific in that part.
He is. Yeah. It's great. I mean, Philip Barry is maybe my favorite American playwright. And so, Zoe, I'm with you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call, Zoe. And let's see if we can get another caller on. This is Frank, and Frank is with us from Chicago, Illinois.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Frank.
Hey, how you doing? I was just going to say that Muriel's Wedding is my favorite.
Muriel's Wedding. What about Muriel's Wedding makes you like it so much?
The music and the kind of like underdog deal. You know, it was just, it was everything. Being Australian and just that they were just a normal family kind of thing.
Well, in this movie, the weddings are something about transformation. Now, let's listen to a clip from Muriel's Wedding.
I've seen your wedding album. You've tried on every dress in Sydney.
That doesn't mean I'm getting married.
What else does it mean?
I want to get married. I've always wanted to get married. If I can get married, it means I've changed. I'm a new person.
How?
Because who'd want to marry me?
Ever.
That's a great scene. And Murray, that's one of that spate of mid-90s wedding movies.
Yes, there's just, I mean, there's a bunch of them. Muriel's Wedding is, and by the way, it's along with Mamma Mia, the other big wedding movie that features a lot of ABBA music. So prepare yourself one way or the other. But Neil, my list goes beyond yours. There's The Best Man. There's The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, Four Weddings and a Funeral, 40-Year-Old Virgin. I think you mentioned The Wedding Planner and The Wedding Singer and mm-hmm. My Best Friend's Wedding. That Old Feeling, Confetti, which is a mockumentary about weddings, and very contemporaneously, Sex in the City.
Yes, but Sex in the City, now that's not a mid-90s movie. That's a very different category.
Right, exactly so, because now we're facing maybe more parlous economic times. And so it's all about do-it-yourself weddings and how to skimp on the weddings, even if the shoes cost $500.
Let's see if we can get another caller in on the conversation. This is Diane, and Diane is with us from Des Moines in Iowa.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead, please.
I have to say that Father of the Bride with Steve Martin has got to be one of the best wedding movies that I've seen.
Well, Father of the Bride starring Steve Martin, that's, of course, a remake of the Spencer Tracy classic. Right. And interestingly, this line from Steve Martin is almost an exact copy of the line that Spencer Tracy read, well, in 1958.
It's a blender.
I mean, I didn't want to act thrown or anything, but inside I was. I mean, I thought something for the apartment, maybe a new clock or a cool phone or a great art book or something, but a blender? I mean, what is this, 1958, to give the little wife a blender? I mean, it scared me, you know, in terms of his expectations.
A little feminist awareness there, Murray.
Yeah, it's true. And it's amazing about these movies, in my opinion, Neil, that they don't really reflect current gender realities in a way in the gains of the feminist movement. The idea is still there, and it may even be a pernicious one, that this is going to be the biggest day of your life if you're a woman. And this is this little post-feminist moment when her fiancé gives her a blender because he says he thought she might like to blend something. But as you know, all works out in the end so that they do get married. But it's one of the very few kind of, I think, post-feminist moments in some of these contemporary films. It's a great film. I agree with you.
And they go on, of course, to make a Father of the Bride 2, which is a little bit peculiar.
Right.
But anyway, Diane, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to, this is Lindsay, and Lindsay with us from Tallahassee in Florida.
Yes, hi.
Go ahead, please.
My comment was actually Father of the Bride as well. I just thought it was a fantastic wedding movie, especially since it shows more of the leading up to the wedding rather than actually the wedding itself being the focus. It's everything else, all the emotions and that whole daddy's little girl kind of side. It's very interesting to me.
And which version of Father of the Bride are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, the Steve Martin?
The Steve Martin one is your favorite.
Yes.
I have to say, Murray, I'm a big favorite of Spencer Tracy. I'm a big fan of the way he acts. And you just heard Steve Martin in his role where he's, up and energetic as always. Listen here to Spencer Tracy.
I always used to think that marriages were simple affairs. Boy meets girl, fall in love, they get married, have babies. Eventually the babies grow up and meet other babies, and they fall in love, get married and have babies, so on and on.
And that, we just don't see acting like that anymore.
No, and you don't often see beauty like Elizabeth Taylor either.
No, that's true.
But there's that. But, you know, this point about, gender roles and all, we have to remember some of the classic film movies, and maybe the most classic and the most the one most responsible for putting forth that ideal is The Wedding in Cinderella. You know, the Disney wedding. There are many Disney weddings. I think there's a wedding in Robin Hood, and there's some other ones. But, you know, the bluebirds are twining the ribbons around the bride. And the Prince Charming, we always talk about finding your Prince Charming. And that's where I think in some of these cartoon movies is where the ideal really comes across. I'd also like to say there are a couple of films. There's one that bridges the gap between cartoon and real life, and two of the most important, hands down, movie weddings, Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy in The Muppets Take Manhattan, which of course leads me to The Godfather, which is probably the greatest, you know, film of a wedding I've ever seen.
It's a film of a wedding, but it's not a wedding movie.
Well, it opens the show, you know.
It does, and it's a long scene, and it's a great scene. But to call The Godfather a wedding movie, I'm not so sure. We're talking with Murray Horowitz in the first edition of our new NPR's Talk of the Nation Summer Movie Festival. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email we have from Leah in Oregon. My favorite wedding ceremony in a movie is from Princess Bride. I often say Maywig when referring to a wedding now. As a part-time wedding photographer, I have to say that weddings generally are exhausting social constructs that celebrate the union of two individuals in the most painful and laborious manner possible. Let's listen to a favorite moment from the wedding scene in Princess Bride.
Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together. Today, marriage, that blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream.
That's a pretty
it's
great
Peter
scene.
Cook.
Yeah, the great Peter Cook. We've had Donald Sutherland and Peter Cook. That, of course, one of those scenes where this is the equivalent of being tied down to the railroad tracks. The villain is forcing the girl to marry him.
Right, exactly so, and it's true that Maywig is, but marriage is
marriage.
It's one of those sort of shibboleths now in our household. You know, when anybody talks about anybody getting wed, somebody goes marriage. It's a classic performance, and I agree with you. I think the Donald Sutherland in Jules Pfeiffer's Little Murders and the Peter Cook scene in The Princess Bride are probably the funniest weddings I can think of.
Let's go to Kara. Kara, with us from Kings Beach in California.
Yes, I was calling about The Wedding Singer, but I don't think I've heard you guys mention 27 Dresses yet, which is classic, always the bridesmaid, never the bride movie, which is really recent. But my all-time favorite is The Wedding Singer, hands down. It has a killer soundtrack, and the chemistry between Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore is classic.
I can say that other than maybe E.T., we've never liked her better.
Me either. She was great in that movie. I loved it.
Thank you, Kara.
And thanks, Kara, because the mention of 27 Dresses also reminds me of Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, which features 42 bridesmaids' dresses. I mean, it's an MGM extravaganza.
As long as we're going musicals, how about Royal Wedding?
Well, you'll know better than I then. I couldn't find, Neil, is there an actual wedding that takes place in Royal Wedding?
Well, no, but it's about being in London during the Royal Wedding.
Okay, fair enough. It's a wedding movie.
It's a wedding movie.
Give me The Godfather, I'll give you Royal Wedding.
All right, I'll give you. But I have to say, one of my favorites is The In-Laws with Alan Arkin and Peter Falk. Remember Serpentine.
Right. It's true. And why, I don't know why it is that we love to watch these things so much. I mean, almost even more than courtroom dramas. I remember when I used to direct soap operas in New York City years ago, and if the ratings were slipping on a show, sure enough, the writers would very soon put in a wedding, you know, because they knew that everybody wanted to see, you know, Frank and Margot get married, whoever it was.
Same thing in a sitcom, Rhoda's Wedding.
Right, exactly. So it's surefire.
Before you go, Murray, I wanted to take the opportunity to mention news of the death of Eric Dowling. Now, he was a navigator in the Royal Air Force during the Second World War. His plane was shot down, and he was held as a prisoner of war in Stalag Luft 3. And everyone, well, all right, maybe every male of a certain age remembers that as the setting for The Great Escape, where the prisoners dug three tunnels, Harry, and escaped. Yep, an amazing story and an amazing movie.
An amazing movie, a great movie, and I'm glad you pointed it out. What I thought you were going to do was ask me for my favorite, wedding movie.
Oh, your favorite. I'm sorry, I was going to ask you for your favorite wedding movie. Go ahead.
Well, it's called, ironically enough, We're Not Married, and it features my personal hero, Fred Allen. What happens is five couples get married by a rather doddering justice of the peace played by Victor Moore, who's married to Jane Darwell. It's got an incredible cast. Before his commission actually takes effect. So a year later, the heir is discovered. Five couples are told that they're not really married. And they include Ginger Rogers and Fred Allen and Marilyn Monroe and David Wayne. And in something particularly appropriate for Talk of the Nation, Mitzi Gaynor and Eddie Bracken, he's shipping out to Korea and she's 4 months pregnant. She can't have the baby, you know, without being married. So the Navy arranges for them to be married on the radio.
And their producer, there's also Ramona and Steve, who loathe each other, but have a lucrative radio contract. And their producer frantically reminds them that their husband and wife radio program depends on their marriage.
Let's get organized here. What is all this nonsense about you not wanting to get married again?
Well, it's true, sir. Heaven has finally blessed our union with a little annulment.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to skip it this time. We've got a nice setup here, and if you're not married, we're cooked.
Richard Buckley is the producer and Fred Allen as Steve, and more hilarity ensues. Murray, thanks as always, and you're going to be back with us in a week?
And face-to-face, I hope. We're going to be talking about other movies.
Next week, we're going nuclear. That's right. Send us your best picks for nuclear movies. If you have a nominee, send us an email. That's talk@npr.org. Murray Horowitz is the director and COO of the American Film Institute Silver Theater and Cultural Center here in Washington, D.C. area. We need to thank Brooke Logan and the staff at AFI Silver Theater who helped Murray out on his research this week. And we'll see you next time. Tomorrow, it's Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here. We'll see you again on Monday. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.